Happy to have with us for the second of his two weekly visits here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, is our good buddy Bernie Kosar. Bernie, this is a rough day, I know, for you, and we'll start with this topic because you were a good friend of Junior Seau, and what a tragedy, Junior's life ending yesterday. And I want to start, and I know it won't be easy, but I do believe that there's so many personal things that you can share about Junior and about your relationship that I think people should hear.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Vic. Yeah, you're right. This is a really tough day and topic to talk about. You really wish you never had to really deal with it, do it, have these situations in your life come up. And, you know, if I could say one thing first, our thoughts and our prayers go out to Junior and his family, his three kids, his mom, Louisa, which we just sadly saw at the press conference yesterday. And, you know, knowing the kids and knowing him and knowing his mother and really knowing what a great man he was and a genuine guy. Not only did he play 20 years, was a phenomenal football player, but the things he did in the community, publicly and privately. I mean, a lot of the stuff he did wasn't even for show. It was just his genuine spirit and his genuine goodness that, you know, he wanted to help people and make things better for everyone. And that's kind of, I like to kind of do a lot of the similar things like that myself. And, you know, we just had a kind of a kindred spirit together. And I'd really like to just ask people to, you know, don't be so quick to judge as to some of the things that sometimes people quickly get into when you see something like this, that, he just was losing his money, had bad financial stuff, and personally couldn't deal without playing. It goes way, way deeper than that. And it's, you know, sometimes it's guys like him don't like to talk about some of the pains and things he's gone through. And, you know, we saw it down in South Florida last year. Dave Durson, who possibly did a very similar thing by, you know, taking his own life with kids, with stuff. But he shot himself in the chest also because he wanted to donate his brain to the study for these concussion issues that have really, really become a serious issue for guys. And when you have that, and Junior playing 20 years and the type of physical player that he was, you have those type of things. You just can't get around them. And, you know, unless you have that situation and you really know what it's like to have that constant ringing, buzzing, headache, loss of balance, challenge with your speech, all those issues that constantly go on, when you have some of that post-concussion stuff,
right,
it's really, really hard to understand the depths that some of these guys, some of us are going through with these issues.
Well, Bernie, here's the thing, and on a couple of levels, probably more than a couple, of your relationship with Junior Seau. One, knowing him as you do, as the man, as the player, as a business partner. I know he was the first non-quarterback that you brought into the quarterback club back in the day when you and other prominent quarterbacks in the league, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, got together and formed a whole business venture because of his stature and his brand name that Seau had that was unique. But that said, you are a former player yourself, and you're a guy who has, and you know, many years now transitioned to society, so to speak, and you know, the involvement that you have certainly with the Browns, but many other business ventures that you deal with in various places in this country, and I just wonder how much this strikes home from that standpoint. It is part of me that thinks of a lot of my close friends like yourself, people I know who've played this game and played it at a very high level, who are out of the game now, and either in Junior's age group or older. You know, what goes through the mind, and how much do you start thinking of your own self when the stuff like this goes on?
Well, first, the junior being one of the first members, non-quarterbacks in the quarterback club back in the early to mid-90s, was a lot just because of his personality. And he was an awesome football player. But he really was transcended the players and was part of this new generation of guys that are just phenomenal people on and off the field, and leaders that are able to lead a team, lead a city, lead a market, and you're not even the quarterback. It was just phenomenal how he was able to handle and lead that team and be a part of the group. And it was just a lot of fun to do that what I proudly say is that we helped get all the players today now get licensing money for their name and likeness each year from the Players Union. They have a company called Players Inc. that now it's just not the quarterback club. It was because of us starting that, players now, every player gets money for their name and likeness on and off the field. And that stuff, you know, everybody isn't a top-tiered, you know, multimillionaire making money. And this goes down to the practice squad guys, the guys to the 53rd guy on the roster. Guys can really use that. Now, from the other standpoint, and your other question about how guys like myself who've had numerous concussions and, you know, how you deal and you think about that. Yeah, that really hits home. It hits close to home. I mean, that's where, you know, I went through my stages of getting out of football and you're not making the money you want. And a lot of times it's not you changing as much as some of the people and the lifestyles you've provided for people around you and the jobs you provide and kind of the cool lifestyle that so many people around you get to live while you're playing. They have much trouble digesting and handling that change,
sure.
Sometimes more so than you.
And then it rubs off on you, yeah.
And then you're the bad guy because you're not playing anymore or you're not providing for them or they actually have to, God forbid, work on their own. And you're the antichrist for it. It's a tough thing to handle while you're going through your adjustment of not playing football anymore. And then you're dealing with your injuries. We're starting to learn now about, you know, you're not really a bad person because your head hurts all the time or you constantly have ringing in your ears or you're dizzy. Your balance is off base, your speech is off base at certain times. And not that we're able to fix it now, but this is for the first time in the last couple of years, we're at least able to pinpoint kind of maybe why it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to come to terms with.
Yeah, there's an awareness of it for sure. The other major story that came down yesterday, the suspensions handed down by Commissioner Goodell of players involved in the Saints bounty situation. Not as many players as anticipated, but the punishment nonetheless resonated throughout the league. In particular, Jonathan Vilma being suspended for a full season. Of course, from the Browns standpoint, Scott Fujita, linebacker, suspended for 3 games, and he'll have to serve that, even though he's a Cleveland Browns player, and this happened while he was with the Saints. So just your reflections on those punishments.
Yeah, I have I really struggle with this one. This is a real tough one. I understand from a standpoint that you really can't be doing this type of stuff. But I know, and it's not to cast arrows and bring me into the equation, but I know that when I privately question sometimes my coaches, and I like to think I did it in a respectful, proper, private matter, I know the huge ramifications that it caused from a personal standpoint and a professional standpoint to the point where we were in first place in 1993 and I still got cut. And us players, we really want to act like we're independent. We want to act maybe outside like we're doing things on our own. But at the end of the day, we really are compliant, listening soldiers that listen to our coaches, our boss, because that's the way we've been brought up. And you want to please and do what's right as a player, and you're almost in a catch-22, because if you're not, if your coach likes you, if your coach believes in you, if he you get the honor of getting picked to be the captain, you know, you have a chance to play longer. You're the leader of the team. You get bigger contracts down the road. And if you're not a guy, if you're a guy who questions, why are we doing this? Why do you do that? Are you sure that's right? They get rid of you. Eventually, your career is shortened. So to do that to a guy, you know, it's a tough decision that Jonathan Vilma's, Scott Fujita, guys like that had to make. And I don't believe Scott Fujita was the answer. The core of this was that he wanted to purposely hurt people with illegal cheap shots. I just don't believe that. And coaches could coach for 40 years. You know, so if you take six games from them, you know, a year from them, that still hurts, but that's, you know, a couple percent of their coaching career. The average career for a player is 3.5 years. Jonathan Vilma is in that 5 to 10 year range. You're taking away 10 to 20% of his career, and your body, when it doesn't play for a year, you know, you just get a little rusty, and I think it makes it harder for him to come back. So this is probably the toughest penalty, the most strict penalty of anybody who's anyone's received. And I just think that's a tough spot, knowing what players have to do to try to be compliant and loyal to their coaches. Because if you question your coach, you're looked at as a malcontent.
Yeah.
And we would write about him and say, and talk on the radio about, oh, the guy doesn't want to listen. He's not going along with the program. He doesn't believe in whatever. He doesn't believe in the West Coast system. So he's a bad person. So it's a real tough spot for these guys.
Yep, it is. Bernie, great stuff, as always. And we will catch up with you again next week, my friend.
Great. Have a good weekend.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us, as he always does, here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, and it's brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game.